just to give you a little bit of the backdrop, background. He's been a father of the faith to me, and just a man that loves the Word, a man that loves the church, a faithful man, a veteran soldier, a statesman, I would consider him, and a humble man, because he's... I told him he couldn't wear his most humble servant button today, but I'll just let you know he's humble. So, but anyway, and so as unto the Lord, could we stand today and thank God for the gifts that Pastor Story is?
Oh, God. Thank you, brother. Thank you. It's always good to be in Mexico, Missouri. I was talking to someone a while ago, and I realized the first time I ever came here was shortly after Hannah had her first birthday. So I guess that would have been 12 years ago. But it's always good to be in Mexico, Missouri. I love it here. Pastor Ron and Jennifer, they're always just so gracious to me. Your church folks are always so good to me. And I want to tell you something. If you ever think about, I know there are some folks that's moved away. I hated to hear that. I miss them. But if you ever think about leaving Mexico, Missouri, you better make sure it's God, because you're not going to find too many churches like this anywhere you go. This is a great church. You're blessed. Do you know you're blessed? Amen. Somebody say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Because I'm in a good church. Amen. Well, anyhow, it's good to be here. I'm going to be here for a few days, so we'll probably get a chance to talk some and visit a little bit. I want to get right to the word from the second chapter of Jonah this morning. I'm going to be in the book of Jonah, and I'm preaching a message that the Lord birthed this in my heart some weeks ago, and I've entitled it The Jonah Point. The Jonah Point. And you'll find out a little bit later why I... have entitled the message The Jonah Point. So I'm just trusting God this morning, to be honest with you. You know, all the years I've been in the ministry, what year is this? 2016. Next year I'll have 50 years in the ministry. Started preaching when I was a teenager. Well, actually I was four. No, I'm kidding. But I was preaching when I was a teenager, and you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. Many times I still get nervous before I preach. And you know why? Because I realize it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. I was just, many, many years ago, I was at a revival, and I heard an evangelist say, he said, if God anoints me, I'll preach. If he don't, I'll anoint myself and preach. Well, that don't work for me. I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit this morning. So I'm going to ask you, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is already anointed. But God, we realize that we are vessels and we make ourselves available to you for use. But God, I need a new and a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost today as I endeavor to share what you've put on my heart. So therefore, I'm asking that you will grant me a new and a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you will anoint the ears of the people to hear, anoint their minds to comprehend, and anoint their spirits to receive the word. Let it lodge in the good soil of the heart and bring forth fruit in the day and the hour that they need it. And I ask all of this, not out of form, not out of ritual, but I ask this in faith, believing in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees, say amen.
Amen.
Well, going to talk to you this morning about Jonah. And you know, that's one of those things everybody knows about Jonah. I mean, even people who don't go to church, even non-church people know about Jonah. And church people, we've heard about Jonah, you know, all our lives since we were back in the day when we had Sunday school. But today now we've got great children's church programs. But I don't know if there's anybody here besides me that can remember back in the day in Sunday school. And in children's church, they had what we call flannel graphs. Anybody here remember flannel graphs? They put a piece of flannel over a... You ain't old enough to remember flannel graphs. They put a piece of flannel over a board, and then they had these colorful pictures, and they stuck them on the flannel. Boy, technology. has really transformed a lot of things, you know. So we got PowerPoint. But, you know, as kids, they would put a picture of the whale, which we don't really know if it was a whale. The Bible says it was a great fish. But they'd put a picture of the whale and a picture of Jonah. So everybody knows that, you know. Technology. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. But anyhow, so everybody knows about Jonah the whale. And, you know, I'll just give you a little background out of chapter 1, okay? Everybody knows Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, but many people may not know the reason why he was there was because of his rebellion. Now, God spoke to him, said, I want you to go down to Nineveh. I want you to preach to the people in that great city, you know? But Jonah rebelled, and instead he went and bought a ticket and got on a ship going to Tarshish. And the next thing you know, the Bible says in chapter 1 that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord, you know. But verse 4 in chapter 1 says that when he got on that boat, the Lord sent a great wind, and there was a mighty tempest of the sea, okay? And all at once this storm comes up, and all the men on the boat begin to cry out to their gods. And they said, you know, okay, what is it? What's brought this storm? What's brought us to this place? Who is it on this boat that God's mad at? More or less is what they were saying. And the Bible says they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. So they went to Jonah, and they said, you know, hey, we know you're the one that's causing this storm. So, you know, what are we going to do? Now, that would have been, I don't know about you, but that would have been my key to say, yeah, I'm the guy. But you know what? I'm going to repent right now, and I'm going to ask God to forgive me. But no, Jonah, still in his state of rebellion, still in his state of stubbornness, said, well, just throw me overboard. Men said, no, we can't do that. We're going to try to ride this thing out. After a while, they came back to Jonah and said, you know what? We're going to take you up on your offer. They threw him overboard, you know? And the Bible says, and the sea ceased from its raging in chapter 1, verse 15. And this is something that stuck out to me this morning as I was reading this. It said, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. I wonder how long those vows lasted. How many of you know there's people that say, oh God, if you'll just bring my wife back home, I'll serve you. That lasts about 2 weeks after she gets back home. God, if you just heal my baby, I'll serve you. You know, we don't need to be making vows. We just need to come to God with a pure heart. Come on, somebody help me out this morning. But anyhow, they made vows unto the Lord. And the Bible says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish. Somebody say 3 days and three nights.
3 days and 3 nights.
He was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, and then chapter 2 in verse 1 is where I'm going to start this morning. The Bible says, then, somebody say, then, Jonah prayed. Say it again, then, Jonah prayed. And the Bible just tells us 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish. What was he doing for those 3 days and nights? Other than getting used to his new living accommodations. You know, I guess my question for you that I want to, now, first of all, let me say this. Jonah was there because of rebellion. But let me say this to you this morning. He was in a situation that he was not going to get out of unless God got him out of that mess. Is anybody in the house this morning? And you know that sometimes we may not be in rebellion, but sometimes we find ourselves in a mess, or we find ourselves in a situation that if God doesn't get us out of it, we're not getting out of it. It might be just life. It might be just some bad decisions that we made. Or it might be just due to the fact that we live in a world that's under a curse. And guess what, folks? Sometimes things happen. It rains on the just and the unjust. You may catch a cold this winter. You may go out to go to work in the morning and your car not start. If it's a Chrysler, I can guarantee you. No, but we live in a world that's under a curse.
Sometimes it's not because we're in rebellion, sometimes, but the bottom line is this. Sometimes we get into a mess that if God don't get us out of it, we're not getting out of it. Somebody say amen. But Jonah, it took him 3 days. And I've often, the Bible doesn't say. So let me speculate here. Because one thing about speculation, you can't prove me wrong because it ain't happened yet. But the thing is, why did it take Jonah 3 days to pray? Starving. Stubborn. I would say, yeah. Stubborn. Still, he could not overcome his flesh. He still was stubborn. He still was probably mad at God. I'll show him. Hello? He probably sulked and was mad at God for 3 days. Got in touch with his feminine side and gave God the silent treatment. Bobby, I wouldn't laugh too much if I was you. Gave God the silent treatment. But you know, and I'm thinking, golly, dummy. But is there anybody in this building this morning who's ever been a dummy? Tell us what it was. No, I'm kidding. You don't get it. It took him 3 days before Jonah, but then the Bible says, then Jonah prayed. But you see, he had to come to what I call the Jonah point. If you've never been in a place, if you've never been in a situation, if you've never been in a mess, that the only way out is through God, then let me tell you, you just might come to that place someday. And when you do, you're going to have to come to that place that I call the Jonah point, where you finally come to yourself and say, you know what? My way isn't working. I think I need to bring God into this situation and let God get me out of this mess. When you get to that point, that's what I call the Jonah point. When we come to the place to where we are sick and tired of being in that chosen environment, when we are sick and tired of trying to do it by ourselves, then we need to come to the place, what I call the Jonah point, where we say, okay, God, you are going to have to get me out of this mess. My way is not working. I need to bring God into this situation. And so the Bible says he finally came to what I call the Jonah point. I've got to get hold of God. God's got to get me out of this situation. God's got to get me out of this mess. And the Bible says, then, somebody say, then, Jonah prayed. And boy, did he pray. Whoo, he prayed. He began to get hold of God. He began to cry. And I love chapter 2, verse 9, where Jonah said, God, if you'll get me out of this mess, I'll pay that vow I made. I'll pay my tithe. I'll catch up on my missions pledge. If you just get me out of this mess. And he began to pray a prayer of desperation. But there's something that I noticed this morning when I was reading this that had never really jumped out at me before. And he concluded that prayer with 5 words. He said, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation, or we could say deliverance, is of the Lord. Let me tell you something, folks. God is still God. And salvation is still of the Lord. Deliverance is still of the Lord. I don't have a problem with Christ-centered rehab programs, but I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a government-funded rehab program, because once your insurance is gone, you're gone. Come on. I don't have a problem with godly biblical direction trying to help people put their marriage together, but I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for some secular, worldly, antichrist Bible counselor. That's not going to work. Salvation is of the Lord. We heard a lot today about anger management classes, you know. God, hey, I was telling Pastor yesterday, people today going to anger management. The Bible does not tell us to manage anger. It tells us to put it off. Put off anger. And the only way we're going to do that is through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I said all that to say this. Salvation is of the Lord. So Jonah finally had to come to that place to where he realized, I'm not getting out of this mess unless God gets me out of it. And I guess what I came to church to remind you of today is this, and it's very simple. Sometimes, maybe not even intentionally, but we leave God out of the equation. We leave God out of the situation. Why? Why is that? Why could that be? Well, one reason could be some people don't want to hear what God has to say. Some people don't want to bring God into the situation because they know that God's plan for getting them out of that mess may not be the plan they want to hear. Is anybody in the house today? And so therefore, they don't bring God into the situation. A friend of mine was telling me, she was at Walmart, and they've got this little area where, you know, a little bench by the door as you go out, and she was walking out the door, and there was a little lady sitting there, and Ruth said she just felt led to sit down beside her, and she said, honey, how you doing? She said, Pastor Story, she took off, and for 15 minutes, she told me everything that was wrong in her life, every problem she had, every situation that she couldn't handle. And said, I sat there for about 15 minutes and just let her go through the whole gamut. And Sister Ruth said when she was finished, she said, I looked at her and I said, and what did Jesus say when you shared this with him? Amen. A lot of times we'll talk to everybody else before we take it to the Lord. Can I get some help this morning? A lot of times we'll talk to everybody else before we take it to the Lord. You know, people put off talking to God because they don't want to hear what he's got to say. Just like some people put off going to the doctor because they don't want to hear what he's got to say. It's like some people don't want to counsel with the pastor or don't want to get biblical direction from the pastor because they don't want to hear what he's got to say. It's easier just to pack. Oh, I'm going to ride this for a minute. It's easier just to pack it in like Jonah did and drive 5 minutes north, south, east, or west and find another church. But can I tell you something? You can leave this church or any other church mad or in rebellion like Jonah or whatever reason. You don't want to receive biblical correction. You don't want to receive biblical direction. But can I tell you something? You're going to have to keep going around that mountain until you get it right. Somebody help me out today. I was telling Pastor, we got a young man in our church. Well, he's not young. He's almost 40. And I mean, he's not a kid. And I don't know how many times he's quit. But he is anointed. He's got giftings. He's got callings. But he cannot submit to biblical authority. He can't take biblical correction. And he did a stupid thing. He started firing people under his area of ministry that he didn't have the authority to do that. Pastor called him in to talk to him. You know, told him, first of all, you didn't have that authority. You can't do that. And you're going to reinstate this person. Oh, well, huh? No, I'm not looking for my pocket. I'm just cleaning my glasses. He didn't have the authority. So anyhow, well, I'll pray about it. Well, he texted Pastor. I love texting. He texted Pastor and said, I'm going to have to leave because I'm just going to have to obey the Spirit of God. I'm going to have to listen to the Holy Ghost. In other words, you know, me and the Holy Ghost got it all worked out. But you know what? Yeah, I love texting. So the Lord had showed me a verse some weeks before. And, you know, I just pulled out my phone and just texted him. All I said was Numbers 19:15. Numbers 19:15, which says, speaking about in the tent where a person dies, and they say any person in the temple, I mean in the tent where the dead is defiled. And it also said this, how many know that we live in a world that's under a curse where there's death all around us? And Numbers 19:15 said, and every vessel without a cover is defiled. You'll get that about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Every vessel without a cover is undefiled. So all I did was text Numbers 19:15. I love texting. Anybody here like texting? You can text people when they're at work and not have to call them. Texting's got a lot of... Oh, but let me say this. Anybody here use voice text? Anybody here do voice text? Just 4 of us? Well, that's a good thing. Now, let me tell you something, Patty. Let me tell you something. Be careful. Don't ever send a text message that you voice text without checking it. Oh, yeah.
My name becomes...
Oh, yeah. Well, I could tell worse stories than that. I got a text one day from the church secretary, sweet little church secretary lady. And of course, when you're retired, you know, sometimes I go out and preach or whatever. She texted me and said, Pastor, are you going to be in church tonight? I said, yes, I plan on being in church tonight. Why do you think I need it? LOL. Click, send it. That's what I said. I didn't hear back from her. Because what I said was, yeah, I'm planning on being in church tonight. Why, you think I need it? LOL. That's what I said. But what little church secretary read was, yeah, I plan on being in church tonight. Why, you think I need it? Oh, hell yeah. But they have reinstated my membership now. Don't ever send a voice text without checking it. I've got worse stories than that, but... Oh, Lord Jesus. Every vessel without a covering is defiled. Some people, they don't want to hear what God has to say. They don't want to hear what the doctor has to say. They don't want to hear what the pastor has to say. And my question is, why do we wait to go to God until we get served with divorce papers? Why do we wait to go to God until our daughter's in the crack house and the son's in the jailhouse? Now, one thing that's always amazed me about church people is they don't enforce godly principles in their home. And, you know, they come to me and say, I say, you know, where's Sean? Oh, well, I couldn't make him come. I said, he didn't come to youth group. No, well, I couldn't make him come. What do you mean? He's 14 years old. Well, he won't do anything I tell him to. I said, don't tell him to. Knock him out, bring him, and let him sleep during youth group. Works for me. I'm so glad my kids were raised. God have mercy. If I was raising kids nowadays, county jail would be my summer home. But the thing is... Why do we wait to go to God, you know? Why? I came to church today to tell you, I want to help you put God back into the equation. Well, you know, Pastor, God doesn't answer my prayers. When people say that to me, you know what they're saying is, they're saying, He don't answer my prayer when and how I want Him to answer my prayer. Can I help you with something this morning? God showed me something not too long ago. And I was telling Pastor, a friend of mine called me yesterday. We've been friends since 1973. He was in my first church I pastored. I was just a kid pastoring a church, and he was just a kid being one of my deacons. And... We go all the way back to 1973. He's got cancer. He's been through a rough 3 or 4 months. Now he's waiting for chemo. He's a precious, precious brother. Loves God with all his heart. Now, he's not a Jonah. He didn't wait. He didn't get mad at God. He wasn't pouting. But he was just a little bit depressed yesterday, I think, and he called me. And he said, I don't understand. He said, I've stood on the word. The Bible says, by his stripes we're healed. The Bible says, no plague shall come nigh your dwelling. He said, I've stood on the word. I've prayed the word. I've laid hold of the word. He said, I don't understand. And God quickened something to me that he showed me not too long ago. And I said, Ronnie, somebody needs to hear this morning. I said, Ronnie, you know, when Lazarus was sick, Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus and they said, come quickly. Lazarus is sick, nigh unto death. Jesus didn't drop everything and run over to Bethany and heal Lazarus. He waited 4 days. Now, I've always said that I believe the reason why Jesus waited 4 days was because, from my understanding, the Jews believed that after the fourth day, Jeff, that there could be no resurrection. They believed the first 3 days a body was dead, it could be resurrected. But after the fourth day, no resurrection. So I always taught, because I believed and still believe, that Jesus waited 4 days because that was a greater miracle. But God showed me an addendum to that not too long ago. He said, and you know, God talks to me in language that I can understand. He said, if he would have dropped everything and run to Bethany and healed Lazarus, well, everybody knew he could heal the sick. Everybody knew he could raise the dead, but not after 4 days or after 3 days. Everybody knew he could heal the sick. And the Lord said, if he would have dropped everything and run over to Bethany and healed Lazarus, everybody would have shouted and praised the Lord and said, oh, Jesus healed Lazarus, you know, and then gone to the church fellowship hall and had fried chicken and went home. And they'd have never learned anything about Jesus they didn't already know. They'd have never learned anything. He could have gone over there and healed Lazarus. They knew he was a healer. But they would have never learned anything about Jesus they didn't already know. And I said, Ronnie, one thing I've come to learn is God doesn't always show up when I want him to. And when he does show up, he might not do it the way I want him to. But I've learned this. Even when he's late, he's right on time. And I've learned this, Ronnie, that when God doesn't show up as soon as I would like to have him show up, I've got to where I pray this way. Lord, I'm willing to wait on you. And I'm excited. I'm excited about waiting on you, because when you do show up, I'm going to learn something about you that I never knew before. And I said, Ronnie, give God a little bit more time to show up. And you might learn something that you don't know as of yet. You might learn that you won't have to take chemo. I don't know. I said, give God a little bit more time, because God does not always show up on our timetable. If anybody here believes that, say amen. Amen. So I encouraged him in that respect. And he said, wow. He said, you know, I appreciate you sharing that with me. So I want to say to you today, maybe there's somebody here, maybe you've got what you call a delayed prayer. But God's never delays. See, God does not operate in time. We operate in time. God doesn't operate in time. He operates in the eternal now. He's a right now God. But God doesn't operate in yesterday or or tomorrow. Or God operates in the right now time. So he might not show up when we want him to, but give him a little bit more time. Because when he does show up, you might learn something about Jesus you never knew before. Those three Hebrew children, yeah. Hey, trust me. Whew. I live out in the country, and my wife's had me trimming trees since school is out. She's had me trimming tree branches and dragging them with burn pile and burning burn piles. And I'll tell you, woo, a burn pile. Y'all all know, you know how hot it gets. And then I think about those three Hebrew children. You know, I'm sure, even though they said, our God will deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're still not bowing down to the gods of this world. But I just wonder if underneath their breath they weren't saying, but God, if you want to show up, it'd be perfectly all right. I'm down for it. But the Bible says they were bound. I don't know, Pastor. I'm sure their hands were bound. But I wonder if they bound their feet also. Because see, when King looked over the rail, he saw a fourth man walking around. I don't know if they were bound, hand and legs. I just know they were bound. They had to go through the fire. Is there anybody here who's ever been through the fire? They had to go through the fire. But when Jesus did show up, they learned something they didn't know before. Yeah. They learned that when they come out of the fire, the only thing that's burned was that which had them bound. So they learned something. So some people, they don't want to go to God or go to the pastor or go to the doctor because they're afraid of what they might find out. And then they think, well, you know, God don't answer my prayers anyhow. All I want to say to you today is just, give God a little bit more time. So the Bible says, somebody say, then Jonah prayed. Everybody say, then Jonah prayed. Now, the Bible says, then God spoke to the fish. Then Jonah prayed. Then God spoke to the fish. Well, Pastor, I just don't know. You know, man, I've been in this situation, and I don't know what's taking God so long. Well, God might be waiting on you to bring him into that situation. Have you done that? Because, you see, God will not violate your will. He can arrange situations. He arranged the situation Jonah was in. He sent the storm, didn't he? He sent the storm. He prepared the fish, huh? God had the situation all laid out. He had it all planned out. But you know what? He won't violate your will. Well, I don't know what's taking God so long. Well, he might be waiting for you to say, okay, God, I'm at the end of my rope. And I'm at my Jonah point. And I need to bring you into this situation. I need to bring you I need to make you part of this equation. I can't do it by myself. I am not a real high-tech person, but I love my GPS. You know, you reach a certain age, you depend on it. So I programmed in how to get from the garage to the living room. No. I love my GPS, but, you know, I'm not real high-tech, but... Oh, by the way, GPS will really drain your battery. But I don't know. All I know is what I read. That it takes either three satellites or three components in one big satellite to work your GPS. It takes one satellite to know where you are, one satellite to find out where you want to go, and another satellite to get you where you want to go. Takes all three working together. And I thought, that's pretty cool.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost knows where you are, knows where you want to go, and only they know how to get you there. So I tell people, you know, maybe God is waiting for you to turn on your spiritual GPS and say, okay, get me out of this mess. Somebody help me out.
Amen.
Now, then Jonah prayed. Then God did what? Then the fish. Then the fish vomited him up. All right, let's see. We got Jonah prayed. God spoke. The fish vomited. Poor fish. Ooh, he had the hard part. Don't you hate to vomit? God. But it feels so good afterwards. Then Jonah prayed. Then God spoke to the fish. Then the fish vomited him up. You know, I still think this, you know, we just think, oh, that, you know, we read things in the Bible and we just kind of skim over. Oh, yeah, the fish vomited him up. If you'd have been standing down the beach a few feet from where Jonah was, and all at once, you know, that whale's going, ooh, this backslider's making me sick. And all at once, here comes Jonah out. You would not have said, hey, what's up? I mean, 3 days being slapped in the face by a whale liver. They do have livers, don't they? Aren't they a mammal? They have gizzards? Oh, they don't have gizzards. They have gizzards? I've been trying to figure out where the human gizzard is located. You wonder, you know, Jonah, 3 days in a whale's belly. And I think he even said, you know, the seaweed's wrapped around my head. Can you imagine how he smelled? Can you imagine how he looked? Would you have given him the right hand of fellowship and hugged his neck, give him a kiss on the cheek? No, you just, that's pastor's job. Pastor, get over here. I got a good one for you. Think he's high. So many things we'd read in the Bible and we just skim up. I wonder what he looked like when he landed on that beach. Wonder what he smelled like. It's like that prodigal son. Been in that pig pen. Eating pig food. Wallowing in pig mire. Wonder what he looked like when he got home. Wonder what some of us look like when we land on that beach because we've wasted so much time being in rebellion or being stubborn and had to go through a lot of things that we shouldn't have had to go through. The fish vomited him up. Now, I said that to say this. God had that fish prepared. And I guess what I want to say to you now is God can use whatever vessel, whatever person, whatever means he chooses to get you out of your mess. And we would do well not to tell him who or how. God prepared the fish. And he can use whomever. I guess what I'm saying to you is let God use whoever he wants to. If it's the pastor, if it's the doctor, if it's a Christian counselor, if it's a whatever it is, let God use the vessel that he chooses to bless you and get you out of your mess. Had a man, pastor, if I said his name, you would probably know him in our church in Michigan.
He said to me one time, he said, Pastor, I don't like the way you pray for people. I said, well. He said, no, it ain't what you say. He said, you call people for prayer, and then you have other church members come up there and stand behind them and lay their hands on them. So I tell you right now, Pastor, I don't want just anybody laying their hands on me and praying for me. I said, you just ain't ever been sick enough. Let me tell you something. I don't do sick real good. Now, my wife, when she gets sick, she wants to go to bed, shut the bedroom door, and everybody leave her alone. Not me. I'm getting on the phone. I'm calling everybody in the church. I'm sick. No, but you know what? Hey, I don't want anybody to pray. I said, you just never been sick enough. You get sick enough, you don't care who prays for you as long as they get the job done. Amen. Let God use whoever he wants to use. If your car's broke down and you're having to hitchhike to work every day and a brother or sister in the church hears about it, and Brother Steve comes up to you and says, hey, I want to pay to get your car fixed. Right. Don't get into a state of stupid and say, oh, that's okay, I get paid in 2 weeks. Shut up. Right. Say, O'Reilly's or AutoZone. Let him bless you. Am I making any sense? Yes. Let God bless you with whatever vessel he wants to bless you with. And I wasn't saying that just because I need a set of tires. But let them bless you so God will bless them. Crickets over here, crickets. God chose that fish. Now, personally, Jonah probably would have rather not had to spend 3 days in fish guts. But God said, that's the vessel I'm choosing. Now, you may not like the vessel that God chooses to bless you. Let him bless you. You know what? Let him bless you, first of all, so they can be blessed.
That's right.
I did a funeral. I drove to Carthage, Texas for a funeral for a family that was in my church years ago, but they relocated up in northeast Texas, and their daughter died of cancer at age 39. And I went up to do the funeral, and I had to get a motel, and I had travel expense and everything. And at the graveside, the dad, who's now on disability, and the mom, who doesn't work, she's never really had an outside job or a career. She's always been a homemaker. And at the cemetery, he said, Pastor Story, he said, as soon as we can, we're going to send you something for this. I said, please don't. Please don't. I said, let me bless you and let God bless me. If God chooses a vessel to bless you, let him bless you. You know, if somebody wants to pray for you, I mean, unless you know that they're really kooky. I didn't mean to look at you when I said I was fixing my microphone. I didn't mean to look at you. Unless you know they're really nee, 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 out in the twilight zone, you know. What's prayer going to hurt? You know? Now, if they start trying to cast a devil out of you or something, you might want to submit. I don't know. Thing is, just let God bless you. Let God use the vessel that he chooses to use to bless you. You know, there might be some people that you may not have confidence in them as a Christian. But you know what? In passing, they can say a word. They can say a sentence to you that the Holy Ghost can take and set you free. God prepared the fish. God can use whatever vessel he wants to use to bless you. Let him. Let him bless you through them so they can bless you. Let God get you out of that situation. Don't say, God, my car's broke down, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And then here comes brother wants to help you get your car fixed, and oh, no, no, that's okay. That's pride. Yep. Let God bless you. See, God has a vessel that might be able to help you get out of that situation. And when God sends them your way, you might want to consider letting them bless you. So, I'm going to conclude with this. Is it only 11:26? I got to keep going. Derek told me that y'all don't get out till 1:30, so I've got to. It was 1:30, wasn't it, Derek? He said, don't you dare let us out of here before 1:30. Y'all stay till 1:30 if you want to. I'd be getting hungry. Now, the thing is, I'm closing with this. It might not be because of rebellion. It might just be because of life. It might be because we're in a world that's under a curse. It might be through no circumstance or no fault of your own that you're in that circumstance. But sometimes we find ourselves in a situation to where if God don't get us out of it, we're not getting out. First thing you got to do is you got to come to that Jonah point. You got to come to that point to where you say, you know what, I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to do this by myself. And then like Jonah, you cry out to God. And then let God take it from there. You invite God into that situation. You invite God into that equation and let God begin to work in that situation for you. When you get tired of battling that thing that nobody in the church knows you're battling, when you get tired of struggling with that, I was preaching in a church some weeks ago in the Houston area, and a man whom I love dearly, always still love him dearly. You don't know what people sitting next to you in the church on Sunday morning, you don't know what they're struggling with. You don't know what they're battling. And this man has been in the ministry many, many years. And he came up to me and he said, I need you to pray for me. He said, because with the internet, he said, I'm having a real battle with internet pornography. And I have seen this man operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, right on, right on, right on. And I know he loves God with all of his heart. And I know that it was not easy for him to come up and confess that to me. But you know what? He reached the Jonah point. He was tired of the battle. He was tired of the struggle. He was tired of trying to do it himself. And he said, you know, God's got to help me. And can I give you a good report? He's doing great. That was all he needed, was just to, you know, James 5:16, is it, Pastor? Says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. You know why? That is one of the most neglected verses in the whole Bible. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And you know why people won't go confess their faults to anybody? Because they don't know if they tell somebody their deepest pain and their deepest secret and their deepest hurt, they don't know if they can trust them to keep their mouth shut and pray. Y'all quit shouting so I can wrap this up. Am I telling you the truth? Maybe God might want you to be that fish. He might want you to be that fish. He might be preparing you to get somebody out of their mess. But you know what? When you come to that place, when you come to your Jonah point,
And there's people sitting here this morning that you've battled things that nobody knows about. You're struggling with things that nobody knows about. But when you come to that Jonah point that you say, you know what, I think it's time for me to bring God into this equation. And you cry out to God. Then God has your solution. He's got a fish somewhere with your name on it. He's got somebody somewhere that can minister to you in some way to help you get out of your mess. Or if not, God is very capable of doing it himself. Sometimes we just learn to live with it. I'll close with this. How many times have I closed? I usually get three closings. I'll close with this. I was telling Pastor, I guess about a year ago, my left shoulder, I couldn't lift my arm. I couldn't even reach up in the cupboard and get a can of coffee out of the cupboard. I couldn't sleep at night. They did x-rays, not a torn rotator cuff. They said, you got a bad case of bursitis. And I went and they put me on medication, didn't work. They gave me a shot, didn't work. So now I'm living on 1,000 milligrams of naproxen a day at that time. I was living 1,000 milligrams of naproxen a day just to try to, you know, make it through the day. And this, I teach the adult class on Sunday morning at 9:30, and this young lady came in and she said, we were at Walmart last night, and she said, this lady was in there and said she was in a lot of pain in her shoulder, and we prayed for her, and God healed her. Everybody said, that's nice. That's nice. And I said, yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. And the Lord said, why don't you have them pray for you? Why do that? I'm 1,000 milligrams of naproxen. I said, okay. I said, well, you know what? My shoulder, blah, blah, blah. I said, y'all want to pray for me? They laid hands on me and prayed for me. From that day forward, I have not had any pain in this shoulder. Thank God for that bunch of whales. Don't tell the women I said that. Thank God for that bunch of whales. You know what? I was just standing there and God said, what about you? See, I just come to where I just deal with it, you know. The Jonah point. Pastor, would you come up and join me? Why don't you stand with me this morning and give God a hand clap offering, because he's such a good God. He's such a good God. You know something? I'm gonna let Pastor close this out. Let Pastor close this out this morning. I just want to leave this word with you that God loves you very much. He doesn't like seeing you in the belly of the whale. He's just waiting for you to invite him into that situation. So remember, there comes a time when you've got to come to the Jonah point. God, I couldn't do it. My way didn't work. So I'm throwing the reins of this thing to you. Reach that Jonah point. Then you pray. You cry out to God. Then let God speak to the fish. And then let the fish bless you. Amen, Pastor.
Amen. I want to pray for you today. Maybe you're in a place where you feel all wrapped up in something. And you just You say, Lord, be my salvation. You've experienced multiple points in your life where you've been overcome with something. You've reached Jonah points, and you've learned it. You might not be there right now, but you want to continue when you get there. Instead of waiting and procrastinating or being foolish, you want to make it your almost like your reflex. You cry out to the Lord. I want to pray for you today, and so just come on down. I receive that message about Jonah. I receive it by faith, and I want to apply. I want that applied in my life. Perhaps there's a bit of resentment. Perhaps you feel like, well, I did the right things along the way, and so why am I experiencing this? And so there can be some confusion, some resentment, some anger. And God's big enough. He can take that. But to cry out to the Lord, to humble yourself, to say, Lord, deliver me. Lord, help me. I want to learn new things about you. Let this be an opportunity for growth and not something that I just get stuck in for the rest of my life. Lord, I ask today, my brothers and sisters, you are the God who delivers. In you alone is salvation, O Lord. And Lord, we who have been saved by you, by the blood of Jesus, Lord, we continue to need salvation. We need deliverance all the way through. We get ourselves into things. Some things happen to us without any fault of our own. But Lord, help us through every stage, every fish that enwraps itself, that we get wrapped up in, Lord, whatever it might be, Lord. Free us, O God. Help us, Lord God, to go from glory to glory, to go from deliverance to deliverance, O God, and to praise you, to acknowledge your goodness, O Lord. And I pray you continue to keep your people, Lord. Bless them. Heal. Do your work, O Lord. Let your favor be upon your people. And continue to protect, provide, and bring peace that only you can offer, Lord. We praise you for this word of life, this word of deliverance. And we ask that we continue to impact our lives in the coming days. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.